Hey everyone, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about how do you relaunch or revamp or redesign your website.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So here's the deal. When we launched Close.io in January 2013, we were still running this big services business, Elastic, and we had this tiny team of three or four people that were focusing on Close.io. So I think before we launched, it took the team like a week or two to put together a very simple website for them to be able to launch our product. And we've been so successful with Close.io and with our marketing and with our growth and all that shockingly, today, so over 3 years later, we still have basically the same website. I mean, we changed a few words here and there. We've added maybe a little section, but it's basically the exact same website, the exact same design as we had in January 2013. Now, that is a very painful fact for me to expose and publicly admit to, because I do think that, for the first 1 or 2 years, that was all good and groovy. But for the past, since then, we've been able to get away with murder on some of the things that we've been doing because we've been successful enough. But that's a pretty stupid excuse. So we've done, we're pretty ashamed of that fact that we still have that website. It converts okay, but we believe it could do much better. And there's so much more to the company and the product and the business today. And when we look at our website, we hate it. So for a while, we've been talking about changing it and working on it. For many, many reasons, we haven't. But now we're kind of in the middle of it. And fairly soon, we're going to be relaunching the site. So I'm in that mindset of all it takes to redesign and revamp a site, especially if you haven't done it in a long time. I know this is something that's pretty common challenge or thing that many businesses encounter. They launch with something and then they don't touch it for a long period of time and they need to redo it. So I want to talk about the mistakes to avoid, best practices, share some of our experiences and learnings. And I knew that you probably have a ton of experience and things to say about this. So that's why I wanted to chat about this today.
Yeah, sounds good. Where do you want to start?
Well, first, I'm sharing where I'm coming from. Let me ask you this very naive question. Heaton, have you ever had this where you launched a website and you didn't touch it for too long and then you had to do it and it was a little bit of a bigger project? Or have you guys always been pretty disciplined about constantly reiterating, improving, changing, A/B testing? So it's been a more iterative approach versus we launched the website and then a year later, 2 years later, we're like, oh, with this big relaunch of the website project that takes a ton more work. Because that's my first question to you. Like, have you gone through this experience before? Because I think in my own mind that the way we're doing it now, it kind of sucks because it is breaking a lot of the rules that I generally believe in, which is, I like in constant improvement and iteration and working on something in incremental steps for a really long period versus doing a website, not touching it, and then having this big, daunting new website project.
Yeah. I've done it all the different ways, and and I hate the place you're in right now. and I want to get you out of that place. All right. So you have a website. In your case, it's only one page. Like, all the other pages are on your blog. So it's really wild, your website, actually. So the first thing that I would say is, do you need to think of it that in that big of a way? Can you just start breaking out those sections into separate pages?
Yeah, so
this is going to be a live discussion about this, I guess. If you go to close.io, you've got tour, pricing, free sales course, which is a separate page. Good for you. And then you have the help, which is actually a separate site. That's great. So you have the help actually looks good. It looks like a little bit more of a updated design on the help site, which is kind of neat. So I can see kind of where you're trying to go maybe. And it looks like there are certain things like the treatment on the navigation and stuff that has been tweaked. So I can almost tell some of the things you've kind of tweaked. Yeah, my take would be split it out. Go create a pricing page, right? Create a tour page and just start breaking it out more than it is right now and start linking to those pages from your navigation instead of the same one page. So that is one approach where you could turn this into an iterative thing. So that's just one idea for you. Another idea that I would actually that came to mind for me was, can you just start with the homepage and start there and redo it? Or start with a deeper page inside your site, whether it's a pricing page, a sign up page, or something like that, and then work out from there. So those are the strategies I like, because I don't like actually making this such big of a project, just because it's inevitable that it's just going to cause you a lot of angst, you know, and take months to release. And I know you don't like that.
Yeah. So that's awesome advice. I should have talked to you about this a while ago. I think that conversation would have been saving us a lot of time, because we kind of arrived at this ourselves with a few tweaks and turns. So yeah, I think that, you know, originally when we were thinking about this, you know, we fell into the trap of thinking about it too big at first, and because we wanted to do a bunch of really amazing things and have like an online academy component with all our content and do a bunch of things that seemed very cool, but made this a lot more complicated. And then we never went down that road. It was just in the planning phases. And then eventually we realized that it's probably a bad idea. And probably what we want to do as a step one, it's exactly what you said, is just look at the content that we have right now, kind of revamp that and look at it at one piece at a time. And even when it came to who's going to design it, who we're working with on certain parts of this, you know, what we've done is you've seen on the help page and then on the API doc. So there's a few pages that our support team and our development team works more with when it comes to pointing customers to those pages a lot. And they just work with a number of freelancers until they found a freelancer that they liked that was easy to work with. And they did some first kind of redesign and improvement projects there. And once we had some success there, we're now using that person in kind of more pages and overall design. So in a way, we're following this advice, but I think it took us a while of thinking about it the wrong way until we realized this sucks. We don't want to do this huge project and do all these new pages and all this new content and all this stuff that doesn't exist yet on top of everything we already have. So the new website that we're going to launch is not going to have a ton more. It will have more content, but it will have a homepage, a pricing page. You know, it might have a few things that it doesn't have right now. Like it might have a very simple about us page, because that's something we don't have today. But that's pretty much it. It's not going to have as much stuff as we initially thought about. So let me talk about so that's one thing. We're in agreement there in terms of like, don't do these massive redesigns or relaunches of websites. Do it more iteratively. How do you think about, just random things? One is, who is managing that? Who do you turn into the champion of this stuff typically? And then how do you deal with some of the politics? And I have some, we found our own groove on how we do this and it's working really well, but I'm curious to hear yours before I share mine. But typically, who, you know, if you have a team of a few people and you now want to kind of relaunch your website, do you want somebody on the marketing side of things to run this? Is it so important that a founder should be? Does it depend? I'm pretty sure I can guess what you're going to say, but I want to hear it. What do you say in terms of who should be responsible, and then how much buy-in or how much influence should other people in the company have on this?
I can't give you an answer on who should approach it and who should start it. It just really depends on the company, to be honest. And you know, one thing you pointed out about content, the more pages you have and the more you try to do, the more content someone's going to have to create. And honestly, it's usually not the designer. It's usually somebody in the company. So, you know, we've tried a lot of different approaches to this. I think that what ends up happening is the main message about the company should come from someone in marketing or someone in product, depending on the company. Oftentimes it just lands on the founders, especially in smaller companies where those other folks are working on other things. But a lot of times you have a lot of this data in the company, whether it's through your sales calls or things you know about your scripts in your sales or your marketing material, and you should be able to redo your website. Now, the truth is, like, if you really want to do this well, then I actually recommend starting with your customers and figuring out how they describe your product and all kinds of things like that before even thinking about redesigning the website.
Yep. That's a beautiful segue to like understanding your ideal customer profile and working backwards towards what's the language they use, what is it that they find attractive about your company today, and using those insights in creating a website that's focused on the audience that you want to really attract. One thing, and that's the reason why I brought up the who's working on this and how is the politics, is that I've seen this prior companies. This time around, we're doing a fairly good job at it. But I've seen this before, and I assume that this is a bigger issue with many companies, that the website, because it's such a public thing, lots of people in the company will feel ownership or will have a strong opinion on it. More so than they might have on certain blog posts or certain more hidden things that marketing or, you know, somebody else in the company does. So this can be a project where somebody is championing it and working on things, but then everybody has an opinion and many of these opinions are going in different directions. And it can be a tough project to do because somebody's working on this and half the company loves it and half the company thinks it's not an improvement. It's actually horrible. And a lot of times it's these human... It's dealing with these like human politics type of things that slow down projects like this. So, you know, it obviously depends always on your company and the people involved. But my experience and the way we're handling this today is that, you know, as you said, I think that you have to have parts of the content before the design, and then it's kind of a play between the design and the content. The design influences the content influences the design. But obviously, you can't just tell somebody redesign the site without knowing what the content is going to be on these pages. But you want to allow people to be involved and give feedback, and certain people in the company that have insights in certain parts of the product to be able to influence that stuff. But you want to have somebody that's leading and kind of managing the operational changes on the website that is very good at taking on board feedback when it works and when it's productive and ignoring some of the feedback and kind of managing that. Instead of, it can't be a people pleaser, somebody that's going to try to appeal to everybody. It needs to be somebody that's very strong-willed and is going to be able to pick and choose who has more influence in certain areas and who to listen to and who not and what's practical and what not. And a lot of opinions, a lot of people's personal preferences will the end not be fully reflected. And that's just something that people need to be able to deal with. How do you deal, let me ask you something else. Like, how do you deal with the fact that anytime you change something on your website, it can affect the numbers negatively, right? Obviously, every business that changes or improves or updates anything on their website, they always do it with the intent to make the results better, to make the funnel look better. But then sometimes it doesn't, right? And I find another thing that this is something most people don't plan for. Most people go, we're going to update or change this website, and then it's going to look nicer, it's going to be newer, or it's going to be more up-to-date. Hence, it must perform better, which is not true, right? How do you deal with that? And kind of like whenever you make changes, making sure that they really generate positive or the result that you want. And what do you do when it doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to treat that would be making sure there's someone on your team that's actually responsible for those numbers. Usually it's marketing in the case of a marketing website. So in that case, it would be like knowing what your conversions are, being actually monitoring them on a daily and weekly basis, and also knowing your traffic. And then, you know, ideally it's that person, that team that's able to filter any of these changes and these ideas and make sure that, you know, they're actually tested, or when the changes happen, they don't, you know, lower the conversion rate or the traffic or anything like that. So it is something where I would recommend having somebody or a team responsible for those metrics. And, you know, it's usually a marketing on a SaaS site because sales needs their leads. And generally, you know, one of the sources of those leads is the website.
Cool. Any other specific mistakes that you've seen when companies revamp or redesign or change their website? Any kind of things for people, pitfalls for people to avoid, or any best practices, stuff that you're like, this was really well done, or somebody thought about things really intelligently here. And I think if anybody listening out there wants to change their website or update it, this is the way they should go.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I've seen is that people forget the pages. And so they miss a whole bunch of key pages about on their website. And then they wonder why they dropped in Google traffic. So that's been a big one that I think is often overlooked, which is, you know, we have these pages and then we don't know why we lost traffic. But really, when we redesigned it, we forgot to put those pages back in. So I can't stress that one enough, of knowing what pages you have and then making sure that you're, you know, actually redesigning those pages, not cutting them off. This usually happens when there's like a content management system like Transition. And so I'd recommend looking through that. The same goes for stats. I would look at the stats on your site and make sure that you actually understand what's actually going on before you do the redesign. Maybe even write it down if you have to. Figure out what pages have a high bounce rate, what pages have a low bounce rate, you know, what pages people enter in from versus ones that they exit from. And just take a good thorough audit of what's going on the website with all these pages before you actually act. And so what I would say is that's the research phase of redesigning a website. I usually help probably a couple people to do this every month. And sometimes, like right now, there's two or three websites that I'm just giving advice on like this. And oh man, like the biggest thing is the research. If you can do the research up front and you do it, then you'll have a much better, easier time when you start making the changes.
Awesome. It's always the fundamentals, right? I mean, a lot of the advice that we give goes back to kind of fundamental, simple things. But, you know, for one reason or another, as humans, we kind of tend to overlook these things and just go, our website doesn't look cool anymore. Let's make it look cooler and more up to date and do the things that lots of new websites do today, instead of asking what do our customers care about? How do they describe our service in their own words? What's confusing to them? And spending real time to be like, what do we want to really accomplish with the site we're not accomplishing right now? What would be the numbers that we want to have change or improve? And what's our thesis on why the things we're changing will accomplish that? Like taking that extra time to do that homework and do that research obviously makes a huge difference. And it also then makes the conversation or getting consensus in the team much easier, because it's not going to be just random people having random opinions. I don't like pink. I think it should be blue. I like green. I think it needs to be green. It's not about like what people's preferences are and what they like or dislike. I like more logos of press. No, I want less press logos. No, there's some person that thought through and did the research and is like, this is the reason why we want to do this in this specific way. This is the thesis behind it and the research behind it.
Yeah. I like it.
Awesome. Anything else we want to share before we wrap it up?
Yeah, don't redesign your site blindly. That's my tip. And blindly means not doing your homework, not understanding the pages you have and you don't. And, you know, that also means like thinking that you can do a big launch or relaunch of it and expect to have that be successful without a lot of work. So the iterative start small approach tends to be the one I'd suggest, regardless of how big the site is or how, you know, how awesome you want to make it.
Perfect. All right. I mean, I can't but agree with Eaton on this. If you're listening to this episode and you've been thinking, you've had this feeling of guilt while listening to us of going, shit, I need to change something on our website, or we need to improve our website, or we've been talking about redesigning our website forever. Maybe this can be the catalyst to get you started. Take small incremental steps instead of trying to change everything and make this a big daunting project. Think about what is one simple page I can play with, redesign, improve. What's a little bit of research and homework I can start doing every day, and to get started with doing the work and not postponing it anymore. The longer you postpone it, the harder this is going to get.
Yep, that's right.
All right, that's it from us. We'll hear you soon.
Bye.